Hey, everybody, and welcome to a downcast Bear Pit tonight.
Yeah, a little bit. But they'll still make noise, right?
Come on, you can make a little noise. Yeah, come on. Everybody can suck it up tonight.
That's right.
So only the round robin.
It's round robin, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but it does, you know, because you never know what's going to happen in that final game.
Sometimes you need a loss to get your A game.
I agree. Let's just go through the score. It was 2-0 for Sweden.
Yes.
Who feasted off of numerous turnovers in that hockey game tonight and then feasted off the crowd, which was spectacular.
Yeah, the atmosphere was amazing.
Off the charts.
As we knew it would be. It might be one of the best atmospheres, probably one of the best atmospheres in the tournament overall. And because you have so many Canadians, so many Swedes there, and they were chanting all game long. The Canadians were as well, that they were singing together. It was just a fantastic atmosphere to be at. And I hope we see Canada, Sweden somewhere down the road again, because those two crowds deserve a final.
Yeah.
But we got to get there.
Hey, first things first, let's get this out of the way. So 2-0 Canada loses today. That means I have to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that. Okay. Before we get going on the Canada-Sweden game, let's take a look at some of the other scores from today. Is this a surprise or not? The U.S. knocking off Czechia in a shootout tonight, 4-3. Well, we knew for the Czechs, they needed to win this one. So we knew what kind of effort they were going to put forward, and the Americans just kind of turned it up in the shootout. And, hey, they come away with the win, even when they're not playing great. And I heard they didn't play super tonight.
Yeah.
They still keep finding ways to win.
Well,
they're deep in talent.
Yeah, they have the talent that when they get the opportunity, sooner or later they're going to score goals. But a great result for the Czechs to take that to the shootout. Like you said, I'm sure they would have preferred the win to get themselves in a good position for the quarterfinals. But let's face it, 4 out of 5 teams will be in the playoffs. Obviously, in that pool, I don't think it really matters, because the first 3 teams in that pool are going to face Canada, Sweden, or Finland.
Yeah.
There's not a soft touch there.
No.
You know, when you're looking at those 3 teams. And then Germany has played well as well. So, we're looking at, our pool is definitely the strongest. Let's be serious.
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing you want to avoid is finishing 4th in our pool and facing the United States.
Correct.
If you do that, if you finish 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I think you've got a good chance of being in the semifinals. So when you're looking at the semifinals, if it's Canada, Finland, USA, and Sweden, I think that's what everybody, coming into this, when they looked at the pools and the way things were going to shake out, that's the way it's going to be. But then you can never count out the Czechs and the Slovaks, and they proved today in a 1-game situation. The Slovaks won today 8-4 over Norway.
Correct.
So the big thing is to get through that quarterfinal game.
Yeah, that's always a tough one.
And then it's a toss-up between some of the top teams in the World Juniors. So.
We've mentioned 3 of the games that were played today. The other one, Finland, needed a win just to kind of get some momentum back. They knocked off Latvia 4-0. Only 4-0. That's a victory for Latvia.
Yeah, poor Latvia. And, some of the parents and fans sit just a couple of sections over from us. And those guys are just begging to have something to cheer about, because that's 3 games in a row where they've been shut out. They lost 6-0 to Sweden. They lost 10-0 to the Canadian team. And now they lost today 4-0 to the Finns. So, they're looking at relegation right now in our pool. Probably them in Norway, I would say.
Coach of Team Canada with a statement after the game tonight. Here it is.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of Tim McCracken.
Well, whatever works. I don't know if that will work or not, but...
It was sloppy. Yeah. It was very sloppy by the Canadians. The Swedes deserved the game beginning to end. They were able to control the play, control the puck, make passes. The Canadian team was not able to piece together 3-4 passes. And one time on the power play, I was looking down, and if you drew a line from the goal line to the faceoff dot to the faceoff dot to the goal line on the power play, Canada had no players in that area for about 15 seconds on the power play. I don't know how you're going to score a goal with five guys in the perimeter, but that's exactly what happened for about 15 seconds there. And a couple of times the puck did go to the point, and the point man didn't shoot it because there was no traffic in front. And he's like, if I just shoot it from here, the goalie's just going to scoop it up. They got to go to some dirty areas. I mean, they got to play Canadian hockey. They're not the most talented team.
Right.
They do have talented players.
Correct.
But overall, they're not, you know, a super talented, gifted offensive hockey club. They're going to have to earn their goals. And today I saw a lot of sloppy passes that against a team like Sweden, they'll break up everything and then just... kill the momentum of the hockey game. And it's funny, Mateo, my son, was showing me on the board. They had a graph up that showed the momentum of the game.
Yes.
And at the beginning, it was just very close. And then it was Sweden, boom, Sweden, boom.
Yeah, I know.
And they controlled a lot of the game. And they could have had more shots on goal, too. They overpassed a couple of times. But they had some grade A chances. And... you know, I look back at the two breakaways Canada had.
Could have been a game turner.
If they could have had one of those breakaways at the end, they might have had an opportunity to push and get that tying goal. But Hugo Haviland.
I know.
Not a big goaltender.
No, but I'll tell you what,
he
moved side to side exceptionally well tonight. Canada kept trying to go cross ice in the pass. He was there every single time.
Yeah.
So there was that. And the other thing, too, from my standpoint, Canada was in it in the first period, however, barely in it in the first period. And then once the Swedish first goal went in, it was all downhill from there. But the one continual thing through the entire matchup for me, Canada could not complete a pass.
No, it was sloppy.
It was almost embarrassing tonight.
It was sloppy.
They got some work to do. And if you don't make passes, you can't do anything. You cannot forecheck. You cannot, it was not good tonight, but...
And they were hesitant, you know. I thought, on some plays as well. Like on the forecheck, there's a little hesitation before they went.
Well, you're afraid you're going to get burned on the big ice surface.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And Russo, you know, he was player of the game for Canada. Yeah. He made a couple of big saves. That one where he came across.
I don't know how he made
that
stop,
was a fantastic save.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look back at that first goal, you have the Canadian forward going to the point. And Tom Willander uses him as a screen, goes low stick side on him. I don't know if he really saw it till the end. And then the second one, the Swedes did what the Canadians did not do. And that is, they put a guy in front of the net, he got the rebound, and he put it in.
Yeah.
And, we've seen already in a lot of the games, like any hockey game, you got to get to the paint. If you don't get to the paint, you're not going to score goals. You're not going to score goals from distance because the goalie's going to see them. And then you're not going to score goals on rebounds or close plays because you're not there.
And when you can't make more than one pass in the opposition end on a power play, that's when I kind of go. And then, of course, the other problem was puck pursuit.
Yes.
They were slow on the puck pursuit.
They were
constantly
hesitant.
The Swedes deserve the win tonight. There's no denying that. And for Team Canada, hey, it's only a round-robin game, right?
We got Elvis coming by.
Hey, Elvis, how you doing? Hey, come around here for a second. Elvis, come around here for a second.
Elvis is in the building.
We just want him to say hi to everybody, although he probably was on that other camera. Elvis, just come over and say hi to everybody. He can step in between the two of us here.
Step in between us.
So there we go.
There we
beautiful.
Hey, everybody.
Beautiful. Excellent. That's great. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Elvis, I just got to ask you one quick question. You all shook up?
I'm all shook up.
Thanks. Have fun over there, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's headed to the Heartbreak Hotel tonight.
Hey, hold it. Hang on a minute. Nicely done. You know, that joke should be returned to sender. Okay, that's enough. We've done
enough. Like, we can go on and on.
All right, calm down, everybody.
I'll stop.
Hey, one other thing. As for Team Canada, they got to do one other thing in the game against Germany. And you know what that is, Paul? They have to do this.
We're going to have to go right to ludicrous speed.
They got to skate. They got to skate.
They got to get going. They got to get it going.
It looks like
simple as that.
A couple of guys look like they got slow boots out there. And, I mean, they... like I say, the forecheck was non-existent. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they never cycled the puck because, like you said, they couldn't string two passes together to, you know, get any sustained pressure in the Swedish end. You know, there was a couple of shifts where they got some opportunities, got the puck to net a little bit. But again, two times a game is not going to cut it.
No.
And two breakaways a game, you know, they were fortunate to get those breakaways, a couple of nice passes, but, you know, one of those goals, like I said, what it could have made a game in this, could have made this a game, but it really wasn't a game because Canada never got close to scoring.
The funny thing is, sitting in the seats, I never felt like the Swedish fans were comfortable with a 2-0 lead, even though I thought they were completely dominant in the third period. And it's just like the couple of guys in front of us were going, we need that third goal. We need that third goal. Because they just didn't think that two was going to be enough in the beginning of the third period. But by the time we got to the middle of that period, based on what we were seeing, it's just, it was... Hey, you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that we can criticize the team all we want, but I have to say that there's always two teams on the ice.
Absolutely, and Swedes played extremely well.
I thought they played very, very well. It was a huge game for them, huge crowd, sellout crowd. The atmosphere was
amazing,
just spectacular.
Amazing.
I thought the Canadian fans hung in there pretty good, but I think after that second goal, it just felt like the crowd
deflated it a little bit.
Yeah, you can see it on the part of the team. It was just one of those nights. Right, so now you move on.
And you know what they say, Bryn, that first goal is critical. And especially when you're playing.
Especially in that atmosphere.
And when you're playing a team like Sweden or Finland, they're very good at playing with the lead. They're very good at clogging the neutral zone. And then, you know, at one point I noticed they had two forwards on the blue line and the defenseman behind.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get to that blue line, their forwards are very good at attacking the puck carrier and creating offsides, or creating you to lose the puck at the blue line. And then, as you know, Bryn, one of the worst places to turn over the puck is at your blue line.
Absolutely.
Because you got guys going this way, and if the puck starts going that way, then you got a problem. And I thought the Swedes had some point-blank opportunities that they could have scored on.
Yep.
Canada had a few opportunities, but like I said, without traffic in front of the net, you're just not going to beat these goaltenders.
All you do is you go into a practice day tomorrow,
yep,
and you just go over a few things. It's the old Ted Lasso thing. You got to be like a goldfish, and your memory can't be longer than 10 seconds, and just try to put it away, but they've got to do some things better.
Yeah,
because it's funny. I was on this morning, which would have been later this afternoon our time, with Shea Ganim at 6:30 Chet and QR 77 in Alberta, and I said, "Look, this is how I view the game tonight. It's not a do or die game, but it's going to tell me whether or not this team has the ability to make me think they can win a gold medal. Based on what I saw tonight, they're third.
Yeah,
and they're going to have to pick it up." And we'll see how they do against Germany.
Well, they have to pick it up, Bryn.
Yeah.
But there's always two or three individuals in the World Juniors.
Oh, sure.
That become stars.
Absolutely.
They lift their game.
Yep.
And we thought with Celebrini the other night that, okay, there's a guy that took a step forward. They need other guys.
I know.
They need another guy to step forward and have a 2-3 goal game, have a game where he's just dominant. And you look at a guy like Poitras, who's come back from the Boston Bruins, and you're waiting for him to, you know, put a stamp on the World Juniors yet. You're waiting for him to, you know, command the puck and, you know, push the team, and I haven't seen it yet.
What's really interesting to me, in the numerous ones that I've watched, we always seem to be waiting for the Canadian netminder to step forward. The first couple of games we're going, oh man, if they don't get goaltending, what's going to happen here? Goaltending has not been a problem
from
the very first game.
No.
You're right. We're waiting for a few guys to take the bull by the horns here.
Yep.
And I don't want to dump on the kids because they work hard. It just didn't work tonight.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens when they take on Germany, which I think is a. I didn't think it was going to be a big game. Now I do. I think they've got to find some momentum. They've got to find some rhythm.
They've got to find a complete game where
they don't have rhythm.
The puck and they're doing everything as a team.
Exactly. So there's that. But a little disappointing. Although the room's got a little bit of jump here tonight.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's.
Maybe it's because we're going to Oslo tomorrow.
Yes.
So a bit of a, you know. I'm actually going to try to break away from the tour. I want to go see that portrait, The Scream.
Yes.
I saw The Scream tonight.
Yeah.
So now I may not have to go actually see the portrait. So anyway, we're going to have fun. And there are some people who have been tuning us in on the podcast. Tell them about your company. Because that's the reason why we're here.
Yeah. Well, we started in 1994. We've been doing tours since then. And we do hockey, soccer, ringette tours for youth and adult teams. We do sightseeing tours, corporate tours. And then, of course, we do fan tours. And the World Juniors is our biggest fan tour. And we have people from all across Canada that have traveled with us and from the United States.
Yep.
And it's just a great opportunity to get everybody together and cheer on Canada and meet people from all over Canada
when
you come
to
a World Juniors. And we try to include not just the games, but other activities. Today we're at the Aeroseum, which was a World War II Cold War bunker that they turned into an aero museum. And they had all different aircraft from different eras in there. Helicopters.
That tells you how big it is, right? When
it's
you're talking
huge.
About hiding
and,
airplanes.
Well, and, you know, the area that we saw was just really a portion of how big that bunker is.
Right.
And it's funny, the guy was saying that they used to store over 1 million liters of jet fuel there.
Yeah.
And then they saw that there were some leaks of jet fuel, and they said, you know, it might not be a good idea to have a million liters of jet fuel in a bunker.
Yes.
With little drips of it.
Yeah.
So they moved it back outside.
Slight
after,
fire hazard, I think, right?
I think an explosion hazard more than a
I'm
fire
underplaying
hazard.
It, obviously, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. So that it was very interesting. I enjoyed going to see those different aircraft. And like I say, tomorrow will be an interesting day going to Oslo. We're doing the Fram Museum, which the Fram Museum goes over the exploits of the Norwegians in the Arctic and Antarctic, some of the exploration that they've done over the years. Very famous for doing a lot of the expeditions even in the Antarctic. So I'm looking forward to that. And then they also have their Christmas in Wonderland and Winterland Festival downtown. Okay. With the skating rink and all the little kiosks and so I'm looking forward to going to Norway tomorrow.
And let's also backtrack up one night. Like last night we had a lot of fun too.
Yes.
At the Fortress. Is
yeah.
Was it called the Fortress?
Carlston's Fortress.
Yeah.
In Marstrand. And it was very interesting. We took the little ferry across. We were greeted by, you know, the sergeant at arms and the guards.
With their muskets.
They fired off a cannon
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was very interesting, you know, to see the inside of the castle. And then we had a huge dinner. There were 350 people. And they were fantastic. I was shocked by how quickly they got the food out.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great
meal.
A
lot of meat.
Yeah.
It was about four meat dishes, so...
It's Marstrand, right, is the community.
Marstrand, yeah.
I can only imagine that that place must be chaos.
Oh, in the
summer. Crazy in the summer, because
be
it's hopping. A beautiful, beautiful location here in Sweden.
A lot of sailboats and boats there that are, you know, obviously put away for the winter, but that would be a fantastic place to holiday, that's for sure.
One thing I got to tell you about, I wandered around a little bit today, did a little shopping. Every store I went into, everybody was jacked up about this hockey game. Every single store.
Yep.
Talked to every clerk that I dealt with said, are you from Canada? Because all of us, this lot, wandering around a little bit through town, and of course we're wearing our sweaters, or I had my scarf on today, and everybody was the one thing I've learned about the Swedish people is how polite they are.
Very polite.
How kind and friendly they are.
Yep.
I just haven't met anybody who hasn't been smiling, and it's been a great experience, just a lot of fun. But the two people of the people who helped me today said, "How can I get tickets?" Because they've been trying to get tickets. So we knew it was going to be a hot ticket. We knew the town was pretty jacked up about it, and they were. And it's only going to increase.
Yeah,
that
even the
enthusiasm.
Guides, even
level.
The guides at the Aeroseum were, you know, you guys going to the game tonight, right?
Oh yeah.
And they're like, I think Sweden is going to win. And they were right.
Yes, they were. Damn
well,
you.
The one thing I'll say going back to this is that Sweden is notorious for winning all their round-robin games.
Start strong.
They only lost one recently after many years.
Yeah.
But they falter in the medal round. And
we talked about this.
From my perspective, I don't mind losing a round-robin game if it gets the attention of the players to play the way that the coaches want them to play.
Yeah.
And to play a more disciplined game, a faster game, and a game that they can pressure and play Canadian hockey. And I think that's what they need to do.
I'm not sure this team is going to stumble this year. And we talked about this about a month ago. It can go two ways for them with the crowd intensity being the way it is. They could absolutely cave. I don't see these guys caving.
I don't see them caving.
I don't see this team caving, so it's going to be fun.
But we haven't seen them play from behind yet.
That's correct. You know why? Because they have been so great defensively in their own zone.
Been.
They just don't allow you to get into the paint.
No,
right?
They're very, very good. Very good. Very disciplined team.
Okay, so if somebody wants to check out our website,
azarcan.net, azorcan.net, yep. Our Facebook page, Azarcan Tours, and we're also posting things every day on our Twitter page at Azarcan Tours. So please catch us there for any of the three opportunities to, you know, see what we're doing here and see how the people are enjoying the tour, the things that they're seeing throughout the day, and you know, some of the activities that we're putting together for them. And you know, it's not over yet, just starting.
Oh no,
I
no
think
yet.
Today the tournament started today
for Canada,
for everybody. I think the tournament started today, because today you had some of the big boys play each other, and that's when the tournament starts. To me, when you're playing Latvia and you're playing, you know, lesser light teams and you're crushing them or whatever, that's part of the tournament.
Developing teams is how I like to
Developing
word it.
Developing countries, hockey-wise.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But when it starts for me is when you get a game like... When it started for me in Czech...
Yeah.
Was when the Russians hammered us 6-0.
I was talking to the people in my row about that. I said, this reminds me a lot of that Russian game. That one was very humbling. This was... Humbling.
Yeah. This was humbling, but that was
that was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was a slap. Was just,
yeah, exactly.
And so after that, that's when the tournament really started for me, because then it's like, okay, boys, are we going to do this or not?
Exactly.
And I think they're at that point now.
Today was quite simple. It was one of these, right?
Yep.
And it might even have been a little bit of this. One of the two. So
it was fall flat on the face.
You want to know
sure.
how many more of those I got
I
left?
I think you got a lot, Brent.
I do. I have quite a few. You know
more
what?
More than we need to know.
Exactly. If you if you were cocky going into that game today, you would have been...
Wrong!
Yeah.
Wrong.
Don't get cocky. Hey, thanks, Paul. That's pretty much it. As I said, we're off. The next time we're back is on New Year's Eve.
That's right.
Germany is the game. It's the late game. We will be on. We'll be actually breaking in the new year like we did.
Yeah, we're
going to
do our countdown. So
early. Early.
Yeah, early. So we'll start our podcast as soon as we get back around 11. We'll do our podcast. And then at the end of the podcast, we'll count down the new year. And then after
we'll
that,
release the hounds.
We'll release the hounds into town with a bottle of champagne in their hands.
And the other thing, too, is that they'll have a chance to see midnight in real time.
That's right.
Out there with the fireworks. It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, Canada.
Hey, let's end with
what do you
some
want
noise in here.
Okay,
let's
come
get
on,
some
let's
noise
go, let's
in
go,
here.
Let's go. Come on, everybody.
Let's get some noise.
All right, yeah, perfect. Okay, Paul. Thanks. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
See you then.
All right, see you in Norway.
Norway.
The stream.